And welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. Joining me in Studio A, our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
Fine. Glad to be back here from West Virginia.
Yeah, you've been to the Contemporary American Theater Festival. It's at Shepherd University up in, or over, I should say, in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. So as the name indicates, it's about contemporary American theater. So it specializes in producing contemporary plays, new plays. Are the subjects and the themes of this year's, there's six of them. You saw all six of them.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
God bless. are the subjects and themes, are they also contemporary?
More so than ever, Tom. Even though half of the plays take place in the past and one of them takes place in the future, they are all dealing with up-to-the-minute issues. I'll give you an idea for each one. Berta Berta is a play set farthest in the past, in the 1920s. It deals with the prison pipeline. Memoirs of a Forgotten Man deals with a state-controlled press and the manipulation of facts. A Late Morning in America with Ronald Reagan is a portrait of a self-absorbed celebrity turned president. The House on the Hill is about a mass shooting. Thirst is a post-apocalyptic play about the control of natural resources. And The Cake is about a fundamentalist baker who can't bring herself to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. I think that'll sound a bit
familiar. Gee, it sounds
like
they're all just like ripped out of the headlines. Yeah.
I want to tell you a little bit more about that last play, The Cake. The details actually differ somewhat from the recent Supreme Court case. The playwright, Becca Brunstetter, sets it in her home state, North Carolina. The engaged couple, as well as the baker, are all women, and the baker was the best friend of the late mother of one of the brides. This is the only comedy in the festival. The playwright is also a TV writer. This Is Us is one of her credits. And this is the one play that is not a world premiere. It's been produced all over the place, Los Angeles, Chicago. It's currently in the Berkshires. It's going to be done off-Broadway in February. The plot has some holes, particularly at the end, and I couldn't see what these two brides had in common. But the play does attempt to humanize a side of the argument that you would not expect to see on stage. Let's listen to an excerpt.
I would love more than anything, truly anything in this world, to make your cake.
I don't need you to make me a cake. I need you to love me.
I do love you.
No, you don't. Not all of me.
But I do. So much that this has been killing me. And I've really been searching through my heart, but I can't support what you're doing.
Erica Rolfsrud and Kelly Gibson in The Cake. That's one of six plays at the Contemporary American Theater Festival in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. So, Judy, some of these plays sound pretty political. I mean, it sounds like it's a consistently political lineup. Is that on purpose, do you think?
Well, the founder and producing director of the festival says he doesn't pick them for common themes. But yes, this is a pretty political lineup. And there are two plays in particular, the play about Reagan and the play about the controlled press, very, very overtly political. The Ronald Reagan play, A Late Morning in America with Ronald Reagan, is by the only returning playwright this year, Michael Weller. This is his third festival play. It's a one-man show. It takes place in Reagan's head as he's on his deathbed in the hospital. He's speaking to an imaginary interviewer. There are a few lines that jump out and that got audience reaction. For example, referring to the Berlin Wall, Reagan asks when the world was ever crazy enough to think that a wall could keep people apart. The actor, John Keebler, does not do an impersonation of Reagan, but he has clearly mastered Reagan's mannerisms and the way Reagan moves. The festival holds a discussion with all of the playwrights the first weekend, and I went to that, and the playwright Michael Weller said he decided to crawl into a sensibility antithetical to everything that he personally stands for. I have to say he went a little too far in the other direction. This is a very gentle play. It could be done at the Reagan Library, and I didn't gather any particularly new insights.
So you mentioned that there's another overtly political play. It's about the state-controlled press. So how about insights in that one? Were they in that particular play?
Well, that play is Memoirs of a Forgotten Man. It's by a Maryland-based playwright, D.W. Gregory. And, Tom, considering our current administration's efforts to manipulate facts, it has some very timely insights. It's set in the Soviet Union in the 1930s and the 1950s. The title character is called Alexei. He has total recall, perfect memory, and he also has a condition that causes him to see sounds. There are two other major characters, a Soviet interrogator and a female psychologist who worked with Alexei. The play frequently moves back and forth in time. For example, we see Alexei as a young journalist for the state press, which wants him to erase some of his memories. This is a powerful, well-constructed play. Let's listen to the interrogator's opening monologue. This is actor Lee Sellers.
Memory. Madness. How do these things work together when nothing can be relied upon? Consider a man tormented by a memory he cannot shake. It tortures him because he cannot be sure whether he lived it or imagined it. On this point, perhaps we can all agree he must be mad. But consider another man, one whose understanding of the world is shaped by memories of things he knows never happened. Is he mad or merely accommodating?
That's Lee Sellers, the actor in Memoirs of a Forgotten Man. That's one of six plays that are all done in repertory, right? I mean, Judy, these plays happen all the time. So sometimes there's two plays a day. On Sunday, I know that all six of them are going to happen, right?
Over the weekend, you can see all six. Three
in one
each day. Two days. You have to stay overnight.
So they're all in repertory. So you mentioned the play about President Reagan. That has an imaginary interviewer, and it takes place in Reagan's head. Is it kind of like Being John Malkovich or something? magical realism. That's all the rage in a lot of movies these days. In the plays at the festival? Any other non-realistic plays?
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say magical realism, but non-realistic, absolutely. That's one of the things I liked best about this summer's lineup. The House on the Hill by Amy Whitting is about a horrible family tragedy. It focuses on a pair of female cousins who haven't seen each other for 17 years. The non-naturalistic element is that we see the cousins as young girls, and sometimes these younger characters interact with their adult characters. This is very deftly directed by Ed Herendeen. The first draft, interestingly enough, was written over a weekend at Baltimore Center Stage when Amy Whitting was working on another project there. So it has a bit of a local connection. Yes, and somewhat in the settings as well. This is an unremittingly dark drama, however. The other play with non-naturalistic elements, the strongest play in the festival, the one that I recommend the most highly, is called Berta Berta. It's set in Mississippi in the 1920s, as I said. The playwright, Angelica Cherie, based this on an American work song, the kind of song that was sung by field hands or slaves or prison chain gangs, and it's a love song. It's not a typical song from that genre, and the playwright has created the backstory for this song. The play has two characters, the title character, who's a widow, and her former lover, who shows up unexpectedly and has blood all over his shirt. It turns out that he has done time in Mississippi's notorious parchment prison, and he fully expects to go back and has frightening flashbacks, almost as if he's possessed. This is the prison pipeline story. It's also a romance, and it has really intense performances by Bianca Laverne Jones and particularly Jason Bowen. There are seeds of hope in this play, but this is a play that'll break your heart.
All right, so Judy, I'm sitting here. I got my abacus. I got my calculator. I got my Radio Shack computer. I'm keeping score here. As far as I can tell, you've told us about five of the six, right? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So you counted correctly.
Let's do the last one. If I've done the math correctly, what's the last one?
Well, Tom, I'm afraid I didn't save the best for last. The last is a play called Thirst by C.A. Johnson, and this is a play that needs work. It's a grim, post-apocalyptic play with two intertwined plot lines. There's a nuclear family made up of a little boy and his two mothers, and the other plot line is about militia leaders who have gained control after a civil war, and they ration out water to the populace. It turns out that one of the mothers and the head of the militia have a shared history. At this point, this play is trying to do too much. It has too many loose ends. I also have to say, in general, most theater companies, Tom, in a season will do one or maybe two really hard-hitting plays. The Contemporary American Theater Festival does a full roster of hard-hitting plays.
Yeah, so if you do see them in a space of 24 hours, 48 hours, I mean, that's a lot to take on as a viewer, isn't it?
It gives you an awful lot to think about. And I also want to say something else in regards to your previous talk with Anne about female critics, because the same thing has been raised about female playwrights, that they have been underrepresented. And of the six plays being done at the Contemporary American Theater Festival, five of them are by female playwrights, including two playwrights of color. I do have to point out again, Berta Berta, Memoirs of a Forgotten Man, those are the two standouts for me. This festival is just 90 minutes away from Baltimore. It's 30 minutes away from Frederick. You can easily see two plays in a day trip if you don't want to go for all six overnight the way I did. And this will really put some grit in your summer.
And before we go, we talked about the paucity of film critics who are women. You've been a theater critic in this business for more than 30 years, close to 40. I mean, what's the, I haven't looked into it. What's the general balance of men to women in terms of theater criticism?
It's very similar to what you're saying about film. And I did study with Judith Crist. She was really a rarity at the time. And I was somewhat of a rarity, both at The Sun, certainly before Anne came, and in the field in general. And I think one thing that might be correcting this is the large influx of online critics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be shifting the balance a little bit.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, you are always a rarity in my eyes. It's always good to see you. The Contemporary American Theater Festival, it's at Shepherd University in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. All the plays are up in repertory until the 29th of July. So you can come to our website, wypr.org/midday, and we'll give you all the information. So, Judy, next week, we're going to talk about a musical that's about the Temptations.
That's right. Ain't Too Proud at the Kennedy Center.
Ain't Too. Is this a new one?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool. Very good. All right. Well, we'll see you then. I appreciate you coming by, as always.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Lunch for Midday on Thursdays is provided by our friends at Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market. They've got locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day. That's all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow it's the Midday News Wrap. We'll talk about the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh's nomination by President Trump. We'll talk about the president's latest foreign excursions to Belgium and England and Helsinki to meet with Vladimir Putin. And we're going to talk to Pam Wood of the Baltimore Sun about the latest news concerning the recount in the vote for Baltimore County Executive on the Democratic side between Johnny Olszewski and Senator Jim Brochin. That's coming up tomorrow on the Midday News Wrap. On behalf of the entire Midday team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.